The power of the Almighty is the cross, is the Lamb. The power of the Almighty is love. So walk in that power, live in that power, because the Zeruah is the love of God, and there is no greater power in this world than that.
Begin a journey that will change your life. The Book of Mysteries, now available online and wherever books are sold. Or go to mysteriesbook.com. That's mysteriesbook.com.
The Bush is USA!
Protests against a speaking engagement by a Breitbart News editor at UC Berkeley in California turned violent. Breitbart News editor Milo Yiannopoulos was scheduled to speak at UC Berkeley. His speech eventually canceled, though, when angry demonstrators clashed with police, broke windows, and started at least one fire. Reacting to the news today, President Donald Trump tweets, "If UC Berkeley does not allow free speech and practices violence on innocent people with different points of view, no federal funds." A Senate panel is recommending Jeff Sessions' nomination for Attorney General be approved by the full Senate, which is expected to vote before the end of the week now. It's not such smooth sailing, though, for the Education Secretary nominee, Betsy DeVos. Two Republican senators say they'll be voting against her confirmation. This is USA Radio News.
If your pet needed thousands of dollars in vet care, could you afford it? PetSavingsUSA.com members are covered by discounted pet insurance with the first 2 months free. Plus, save up to 50% at every major retailer and receive hundreds of dollars worth of free gifts. To receive 2 months of free pet insurance and an instant $100 in savings, call 877-835-6060. That's 877-835-6060. Or go to PetSavingsUSA.com.
Look for a new book from former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. Her publisher, Simon & Schuster, says she'll be reflecting on her loss to Donald Trump, as well as her overall life in politics. The book, which does not yet have a title, will include a collection of personal essays, and it's due out this fall. Republican Senator John McCain is going viral, as we hear from Jason Campadonia.
The senator was caught on live TV trolling a CNN reporter. The reporter is in the middle of what's called a stand-up, in which the reporter is looking into the camera, talking about the story they're covering. McCain can be seen coming in from the right side of the screen, taking a peek into the camera behind the reporter, and then giving bunny ears to the reporter. A CNN producer tweeted the clip. McCain retweeted it, saying he finally got revenge on the press.
The nation's most famous groundhog in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, says, "We're going to have six more weeks of winter." But a groundhog at New York's Staten Island Zoo is disputing that.
Well, folks here are thrilled to learn that Staten Island Chuck did not see his shadow.
Very excited. We had enough of the cold weather. We're ready for the beach.
Mayor de Blasio, a no-show for the second straight year. He dropped a groundhog at the 2014 ceremony, which later died. So public advocate Letitia James officiated.
This is absolutely fabulous. It's a tradition, and it's really important.
What are you looking forward to the most this spring?
Hopefully that Trump will no longer be in office.
At the Staten Island Zoo, Scott Pringle, New York.
And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's program, I'll be talking about ways to set goals that always move you forward. I'll have an update on a new phone scam, 6 steps to boost your profitability this year. I'll have some tips on how to make a good presentation, even if you don't have time to prepare, and how Walmart is moving into Amazon Prime's turf. It's Thursday, February 2nd, Groundhog Day 2017, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But before we do that, a brief check of the weather shows the temperature currently 42 degrees at 12:06. The forecast shows today it'll be breezy with periods of sun and a high of 43 degrees. Tonight, a low of 14. For tomorrow, it'll be mostly cloudy with a high of 34 and a low of 16. Saturday, we're going to have plenty of sunshine with highs of 33 degrees and a low of 15. And for Super Bowl Sunday, we're going to have a bit of afternoon snow with a high of 40 degrees and a low of 25. And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently down 36.96 to 19,853.98. The NASDAQ down 7.98 to 5634.67. S&P 500 down 2.42 to 2277.78. Oil is down 6 cents to $54.46 per barrel. Gold is up $10.20 to $1,218.70 an ounce. Facebook viewers, you are now up to date. Now listen to the rest of the show on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Well, good afternoon, everybody, and thanks for joining me here for another edition of Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com, as we have been for about the last 5.5 years. So glad you could join me once again. And looking forward to today. It's a big day at Crown Trophy. Today is the day that, in conjunction with the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, that we have our Chamber Card Club. And this is an opportunity for businesses to register with the Chamber. 782-7115 is the phone number to come and join us for what we bill as the largest tailgate party in Hunterdon County. And what we do is we clean up the warehouse, set up some tables, have some food. We have a trophy building contest. You have the opportunity to have your picture taken with the Super Bowl trophy. And I'm going to leave with a couple of goodies as well. And then you have an opportunity to win $200, a $200 Visa gift card, by guessing not only the winner of the Super Bowl, but the correct score for both teams. So we break the room up into quarters, and the first quarter is guessing the score. The second quarter is getting your picture taken with the Super Bowl trophy. Halftime is when we eat. The third quarter is our now famous trophy building contest, where Richard Hall and Angelo Graziano from Don Molina's will probably be battling it out yet again to see who is the best trophy builder in Hunterdon County. And then finally, to the victor goes the spoils. And, well, actually, to everybody who joins us goes the spoils, as we will be giving away some goodie bags. We've got some nice new promotional products in that we want to share with everybody, so we'll send you home with a goodie bag to go home with there, and an opportunity for you to see some of the items that you can possibly use to help promote your business. Well, it's a big day. As you heard on the news, Staten Island Chuck did not see his shadow, but the one and the original Punxsutawney Phil did see his shadow today. Now, ancient lore tells us that when Punxsutawney Phil sees his shadow, that means 6 more weeks of winter. That has been slightly updated this year. Now, when Punxsutawney Phil sees his shadow, that means at least 6 more weeks of Democrats protesting across the country. So we'll have to see what happens there. Very concerning that all of the people who said they wanted a united America have chosen just to protest nonstop for 2 weeks. Now, at the campus of UC Berkeley, and you know, it's I don't mind protests. I don't mind voicing your opinion. I firmly believe in the First Amendment rights. But what I don't like is when it is factored into or where it allows violence to become part of the protest. That's where I draw the line, simply because there's no need for it. You know, now you're damaging the campus, and you're damaging. I saw people throwing things, breaking windows and stuff like that. That's going to have a cost associated with it. And, you know, anybody who's caught doing that should be arrested. And I am not one, and as I've told my children, if you ever get arrested, do not make me your first phone call. But if my children ever did that on a campus, you can bet they'd be hightailing it out of there and going to work somewhere else. But I wouldn't be spending money on them rioting and throwing chairs and bricks and everything through windows. So we'll have to see what's going to happen as time goes on. Maybe when the warmer weather comes out, one of two things can happen. People get back into their lives. Maybe this is just cabin fever, or maybe it even gets worse. We'll have to see what happens as the Trump presidency rolls now on into its third week coming up. Well, there's a four-step regimen, as the show preview mentioned, that you can use to set goals that will always move you forward. Now, when you set lofty goals, obviously, you want to win them, but even failure can produce small wins. Now, if you read certain self-help literature, you may get the impression that some people don't have any goals in life. Even worse, you may be one of those people. In actuality, it's impossible for living organisms to not have goals. The Buddhist monk who takes his Zen master's advice to do nothing has a goal of doing nothing. A mindless single-celled organism has the instinctual goal just of surviving, as does the couch potato who spends his time commuting between the refrigerator and the TV. You have to dream huge. Now, everybody has goals. What many people don't have are big breakthrough goals, goals for a new reality in which they and their material circumstances are dramatically better. I believe in dreaming huge, with the understanding that even if I fall short of a specific outcome, I will achieve smaller goals along the way. That, collectively, will create improvement. It's better to aim high and fall short than to set a more realistic goal and later wish you'd dream bigger. Now, if you remember the first show of this year, we talked about resolutions and goal setting. So every month, in the beginning of the month, it's time to do that gut check. Did you set a goal? Did you set a resolution in the beginning of the year? And are you maintaining it? We also said that those goals had to be specific. So if it was, I'm going to lose 20 pounds, or when it, we, and let's change it up. The original way of setting a goal would be, I want to lose weight. And I said, make it specific. I want to lose 10 pounds. I want to lose 20 pounds. And I want to do it by a certain time frame. So are you on track with that? Or make the goal such that, you know, it's something that is measurable along the way. Now, as a boy, I was very fortunate to have a role model, my father, who both inspired my dreams and helped me develop the process of achieving them. My dad was a very hardworking union electrician who always told me that if someone is going to pay you to work, then I expect you to earn every penny. He taught me one of the most valuable gifts that a father can teach a son, a work ethic. Now, I have taught that to my kids as well, and now my 24-year-old son runs two divisions in my company. He taught me about goal setting and spending only what you could afford. I had a goal of playing pro football, and my father always said that you have to work harder in practice than you play in a game, which I did. Did I achieve my ultimate goal of becoming an NFL player? No, but I did achieve a great deal along the way, including breaking some records at my college. And all that practice and hard work fostered a level of commitment, discipline, and mental toughness that later helped me start my company into an award-winning enterprise. I've continued refining my father's goal-setting regimen, which I now apply to every area of my life. But here are the four basic components. And I didn't write these. These are just things that I've learned over the years that seem to work best. Number one, you want to set daily goals. Now, once you develop a big goal, create one or more missions for yourself every day. These daily tasks must be accomplished by the end of the day, and achieving them allows you to chalk up small victories. These tiny wins will motivate you to progress to the next day's missions, and then the next day's, until the sum of all those bite-sized pieces of the larger goal add up to the big goal. I think I mentioned that last week when James was in the studio, because he was questioning how do you handle it all. You also want to write down your goals. That's the second tenet here. At the very least, write them down so that you can check back later to measure your progress and make modifications as needed. Because writing down goals requires a commitment, it increases the odds that you'll stick with the plan. After all, it's easy and painless to abandon a plan to which you've committed no time or resources, but less tempting once you've invested lots of effort. Number three, you want to make course corrections as needed. Keep correcting your course along the way. For example, if my goal is to finish a triathlon, but I get sick or my business demands my full attention for a while, I might have to cancel participation in one race and sign up for another. If your plan is inflexible, you're more likely to quit the whole process the moment you fail to achieve a couple of daily goals. So allow yourself to make course corrections and then return your focus to that big long-term goal, reminding you that there are many ways to reach the mountaintop. And finally, fourth, you want to work towards specific outcomes, but you don't want to be married to them. The process of establishing and working toward big goals comes with a big paradox. Without committing to the process of accomplishing lofty goals, you have no chance of achieving them. But once you start down the path, you need to accept that small victories might be the only outcomes. You might never accomplish the original big goal. If you can live with that paradox and still remain motivated, you're guaranteed to achieve something of lasting value in the long run. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about how police are warning about a new phone scam that is catching people by surprise. We'll be right back.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambie's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambie's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambie's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us. My name is Jim Gonneau, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, and we get together every Thursday at this time to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small. Now, here's a story that's both affecting the personal side of your life as well as the business side of your life. There's a new phone scam out, and police are warning people that if you suspect that it's happening to you, not to say anything. Now, earlier this month, security experts warned of a highly effective phishing email that fooled many Gmail customers into divulging their login credentials. Now, police say scammers are targeting our cell phones, too. The con artist behind the scheme, which is being called the Can You Hear Me scam, call potential victims and ask a simple question. Can you hear me? The goal is to get the person on the other end of the line to say the word yes. Police say scammers record the affirmative response in an effort to use the recording to authorize fraudulent and unwanted charges. Although criminals need more than a recorded yes to make purchases, they may already have access to credit card numbers and sensitive identifying information that can be used to make charges. They can then use the recorded yes response in an attempt to prove they gained your permission to make the charge. Now, though it may be tempting to answer calls from an unknown number, what if it's someone you know who needs to reach you in a pinch? The surest way to protect yourself is to let these types of calls go to voicemail. Anyone who needs to reach you will call back or leave a voicemail. If you decide that you do want to answer, always verify the caller and never give out personal information. Those scammers may claim to be from a credit card company or a government agency. Legitimate requests from these organizations will never be made over the phone. You can also sign up for a service like NoMoRobo, which analyzes your incoming calls and blocks any numbers with a high number of registered complaints. If you suspect you may be a victim of a scam like this one, check all bills, credit cards, and utilities thoroughly and dispute any unrecognized charges immediately. If you discover unusual activity, you should also place a fraud alert on your credit file by contacting one of their credit reporting agencies. So the way this is working is you answer the phone and somebody will say, "Hi, you know, Mrs. Johnson." And, you know, you'll say, you may say yes to that, or they'll say, "Is this Mrs. Johnson?" And you'll say yes. When they say that, "Can you hear me?" And you say yes, what they're doing is recording the call. So now they go out, and because they've already accessed personal credit card information on you from another site, they go out and make fraudulent charges. And then when they do so, a lot of times when they're placing the order, you know, they say, "Here's my credit card number." They read it off. "Do I have your permission to run your card?" Then they just hit the button with your voice that says yes. Now the company calls you. They want to get paid. You're saying it's fraudulent, but it's your voice on the other end of the line. You're on the hook for that charge. So make sure you be very careful about how you answer the phone, whose phone calls you're taking, and whether or not it's something that you should really, you know, just have a second thought about. If you don't know, don't talk. Just, you know, hang up and they'll call back if they really need you. On the program, and this is one I got a lot of texts and emails about this morning, in the promo I mentioned, six steps that can help boost your profitability in 2017. Now, this is one where you're going to want to turn the speakers up a little bit and pay attention, because this could be a game changer for a lot of businesses. I've talked to several over the past couple of weeks, and I asked them about their profitability. Sometimes I get that glazed over look. Sometimes I get that "what do you mean" look, and I'm not sure that businesses really understand the profit side. Like, if you're really going to break down the metrics, I don't think they understand sometimes the profit. There's the cost of the goods and how much you sell it for. Yes, there's some other fixed costs in between, like rent, insurance, and things like that, but they don't really factor in what is the true profit of a product. So increasing your company's profitability takes being strategic about cutting costs and being honest about your needs, write several business experts. Now, again, I like metrics, but my favorite of all is profitability. And I don't say that because I'm being greedy. I have to know if a product that I'm selling is actually profitable. And if not, do we need to make an adjustment on the price, or do we need to abandon that product altogether? So there are six steps for your business to follow to become more profitable in 2017. The first one I like the most, and that is take your profit first. Now, the principle behind the take your profit first system is very basic, but it can be effective. For every single dollar of revenue that comes into your business, you're going to set aside a predetermined percentage as your profit. And I recommend doing this first before you pay bills or sign paychecks. Then that money, your profit, goes into a bank account at a different bank than the one that you use for your everyday expenses. When you implement this strategy, you may find that you will find ways to meet your expenses and invest in growth. But if you fail to set aside your profit first, you may never get around to it. You also want to be creative. We call this the Savannah Bananas story. Now, a minor league baseball team from Savannah, Georgia, they were in a bind. With expenses, debt, and an arguably massive shortfall in revenue, they implemented the profit first mentality and started exploring ways to cut costs and boost revenue. At the time, the Savannah Bananas were considering buying a new ticketing system, which typically runs about $30,000 to $40,000. Instead, they discovered they could print an entire season's tickets for about $3,000. An added bonus, the tickets are banana-shaped, so fans keep them as a souvenir. The team cut costs and generated fan buzz just by approaching their problem from a fresh perspective. You also want to, on the third step, cut your cost. Now, I know that this is a common refrain, but it is really important. I was working on my own company at the end of 2016, seeing if I could find ways to squeeze more out of the tools we already used. Turns out, we could. I put old equipment back online, I changed some processes, and I hired new people, and now we're rolling along. Now, talking about rolling along with new people, you have to get to the fourth step, which is to get your team on board with this process. Now, it's easy to think of ourselves as the sole preserver of our company's fiscal health, but your employees also have a vested interest in your success as well. I found that sitting my staff down and explaining the big picture goals, talking about sales, talking about costs and expenses, I hope to achieve with a more profitable company helps give them a different perspective. They understand why it's important for the business to be profitable, and it helps keep profit in front of their mind. Number five, you want to set SMART profitability goals. Now, it may sound obvious, but you can't know if you've achieved your goals if you don't bother to articulate them. Goals that follow the SMART method, which is specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-sensitive, can help you with that. And these SMART goals should be clearly communicated to your team. Now, whether you set goals based on revenue, new customers, spend per customer, profit margin, or cost cutting, it helps to track any progress made toward your SMART goals. You may even want to consider rewarding your employees who contribute to achieving them. And finally, you want to take your profitability personally. Profit is not a dirty word. Profitability is what lets you continue to employ your staff. It's what supports your family and the families of your employees. It's what funds the good work you do in your community. Now, one of the strategies I recommend for boosting profitability is figuring out what you need to bring home to live the lifestyle that you desire. Then you can determine what revenue you need to make that salary happen. From there, you can build value-based pricing that delivers the services your clients want at the prices that keep your business healthy. It all begins and ends with profit. If your business isn't profitable, it may not be sustainable. You owe it to yourself and your employees to turn a profit. There's a lot of business, there's a lot in business that we can't plan for or account for. Market swings, natural disasters, and revolutionary new products that reshape industries. All of these forces are beyond our control, but what we may be able to control is the financial health of our companies. So again, I can't emphasize this enough. This is a great story to listen to the rewind of when that's posted tomorrow from our 100 in Chamber Radio website. Just to get those six steps down to make sure that you understand how the profitability principle works. So take your profit first, be creative, cut costs, get your team on board with this process, set SMART profitability goals, and then take your profitability personally. So hopefully if you implement some of those, you'll see the results as well. It's currently 12:27. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. Let's see if we have another one real quick or if we should just head off to break. All right, let's do this. We're going to take a break. I got two great stories that I want to share with you. The next one is if you've ever found yourself being the person that has to do public speaking, and a lot of people get very nervous when they have to do this, but if you've ever been that person that has to get up and do a presentation but don't have enough time to prepare, this next story will help you with that, and we'll do that right after this news break. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I think there's a certain dishonesty if they go against their vote from not very long ago. And he did get a unanimous endorsement, and he's somebody that should get. I mean, you can't do better from an educational, from an experience, from any standpoint.
President Trump putting several Democratic senators on notice, holding them accountable for the fact his Supreme Court nominee flew through previous confirmations. The president says he wants this confirmation to go smoothly.
We want to have him go through an elegant process as opposed to a demeaning process, because they're very demeaning on the other side, and they want to make you look as bad as possible.
A Delaware corrections officer is dead following a prison standoff that ended this morning. State police stormed the James C. Vaughn Correctional Center and found the body of the officer. They rescued another prison guard who was described as alert and talking. Two guards were earlier released by inmates. USA Radio News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies, and rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, for a man aged 45 non-tobacco user, it's $1 million of coverage at $75 per month, level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man aged 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At Term Busters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 866-713-5330. That's 866-713-5330. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Term Busters at 866-713-5330. That's 866-713-5330. Remember, 866-713-5330. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes for preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime.
Listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterandChamberRadio.com. I'm Jim Gano with you for about the next half hour. Before we continue with the rest of the program, let's take a look at the weather for this weekend. Today it'll be breezy with periods of sun and a high of 43 degrees with a low of 14. And for tomorrow, it'll be mostly cloudy with a high of 34 degrees and a low of 16. For Saturday, we'll have plenty of sunshine with a high of 33 degrees and a low of 15. And for Super Bowl Sunday, we're going to have a bit of an afternoon snow with a high of 40 degrees and a low of 25. One thing in that whole forecast that I'm not too thrilled about is the next three nights going to be deep into the teens for the low. So not sure how much I really want to take the dog out for a walk before bed at that point. Talked about before the break. The boss comes to you and he says, we're going to a meeting next week or even tomorrow. I need you to do a presentation on that new sales platform or something like that. What do you do? There's not enough time to make PowerPoint slides, or maybe there is, but you won't have time to really practice and rehearse them. So what do you do to prepare, especially if you have little time to prepare for it? Well, here are some tips that will get you through it. Now, again, when you've been asked to give a talk with almost no time to plan, you're probably wondering how to make a good presentation. You don't want to fall flat. If you want to get by on more than hope, consider these strategies that can show you how to make a good presentation fast. First, keep talking points simple. Now, while it can be a good idea to use PowerPoint, Zoho Show, Prezi, or some other program to make your presentation more visual, less can oftentimes be more when you don't have much time to prepare. Besides, it may not be helpful to cram a ton of statistics, talking points, and data into your talk anyway. When it comes to how to make a good presentation, keeping your talking points simple can work in your favor. At the end of the day, the audience is only going to remember one or two things from your presentation, if you are lucky enough to be memorable at all, says Danielle DiBuncio, who is the CEO for Viatechnic, a virtual design and construction services company based in Chicago. I try to make sure that I am the one deciding what they will remember. So I think about what I want these key takeaways to be, and I structure my talk around that. Steve Albrecht agrees. Albrecht owns a training, coaching, and management consulting firm in San Diego that specializes in helping companies build a healthy work culture. He advises against doing a data dump on the audience. We all know how the majority of people in a business audience are always checking their phones, reading other material, or listening to a presentation at the same time. Albrecht says including himself in that multitasking number. Since a lot of them will be already distracted, it's important to stick to a small number of key items. I always try to start with a story of success, failure, or surprise, a famous or infamous quote that can lead me into the material, a statistic that relates, or something fresh from today's headlines. You want to keep your presentation short is the second point. Now, if you're being asked to speak for 5 hours, there's no keeping that short, but if you have some control over the time, less talking is more effective, says Suzanne Franchetti, who is the president of communications training and coaching company Franchetti Communications, based out of Port Washington, New York. Add as much audience participation as you can. It'll break up the speech, she says. Get them involved and then take up some time. TED Talks are less than 18 minutes for a very good reason, she says. No one can pay attention to a monologue for longer than that. Third, you want to tell a story. Now, you don't have to open up with a story, but you may want to have at least one good anecdote somewhere in your presentation, says Adrian McIntyre, who's a cultural anthropologist and business communication coach based out of Phoenix. He advises and trains entrepreneurs, small business owners, and corporate teams on effective communication and the art of storytelling. Storytelling is hardwired into the human psyche, McIntyre explains. From the campfire to the kitchen table to the company boardroom, stories are how human beings organize our minds and connect with one another. So it stands to reason that a story can help you connect with your audience. And as long as you have an anecdote or two in mind that fits into your larger message, storytelling can be a fairly easy way to fill up time. And if you know the story, the details are far easier to remember than spouting off a bunch of memorized facts. If you're really struggling with how to make a good presentation, a good anecdote or several can be one of the best tools you've got. You could use PowerPoint or some other presentation software to help illustrate your story, but the beauty of the anecdote is that you don't have to. As long as you know the anecdote well and your delivery is sharp, a good story that makes your points for you can help you deliver a great presentation. There's a benefit to storytelling that most people don't realize until they've done it, McIntyre says. A story can have a magical effect on the presenter, not just on the audience. Storytelling pulls you out of your head and into the story, making you seem more confident, less anxious, and less nervous. You also want to include some audience participation. Add as much audience participation as you can, says Julie Austin, who's a public speaker who runs Creative Innovation, a public speaking bureau in Los Angeles. Let them do some of the work. Ask them to tell their own stories. It'll break up the speech. Get them involved and take up some time. This advice on how to make a good presentation may depend on what sort of presentation you're doing. Still, even if you're giving a presentation to potential investors, you can have a question and answer session. And finally, five, practice, practice, practice. If you only have a day, then practice for 8 hours. Practice as much as you possibly can. Do the speech over and over again for as many hours as you can, preferably in front of someone, especially if you're using PowerPoint or Prezi and you don't have much experience with navigating slides. And if you literally have no time, even if you have 10 minutes to prepare, you still have time to practice your opening, Franchetti says. Start with practicing a compelling opening statement. And when you get past the opening, the rest will fall into place. Especially if you have limited your topics of conversation. And finally, don't let them see you sweat. We used to hear that on a commercial years ago. When you're trying to figure out how to make a good presentation that doesn't look like you've rushed it out in 4 minutes, it may be tempting to plan on telling the audience that you haven't had much time to plan what you're about to say. But many public speakers and business owners say that's not a good idea. For starters, if you look nervous, and especially if you tell your audience that you don't know what you're doing, you may create a self-fulfilling prophecy and see your presentation fall apart. But if you fake it until you make it, well, then you may have a chance. And finally, smile. Franchetti advises anyone trying to figure out how to make a good presentation, it's almost impossible to ignore someone who starts with a smile and looks happy to be there. So there's some great tips on how you can not wing a presentation, but prepare for a presentation with very little time. So hopefully that will help you. You can forget anybody who says, you know, picture the people in their underwear, picture them in circus clown outfits or anything. That stuff doesn't work. Just be confident. And always remember that a lot of times you're the expert. You know the material better than your audience. So now you just have to have the confidence and deliver it. I remember years ago my wife was giving a presentation and she was actually going to be educating medical doctors on a new drug and or on the effects of a new drug. And she was nervous, you know, for 3 days before. Couldn't sleep, couldn't eat. Panic attacks were setting in. And I finally told her, I said, you have to remember, they're coming to you to learn. They don't know what you know. So just go in there with that confidence and you'll do fine. So she's out in San Francisco doing the presentation. She calls me. I said, how'd it go? She goes, oh, it went great. It was fine. It was like not nervous. And she goes, no, that advice she gave me about, you know, just believing in the material and that I knew what I was talking about set me at ease. So that was good. Let's talk for a minute about big business. Now, this program is typically geared towards small business, but I think there's a lesson in this next story that we can all learn from. Walmart has made a move to undercut Amazon Prime, and it's a huge win, or could be a huge win, for shoppers. Walmart has unveiled its latest move to undercut Amazon Prime. On Tuesday, Walmart announced a new initiative that will see 2 million frequently ordered things like baby products, cleaning supplies, and some food items enjoy two-day free shipping. And unlike Amazon Prime or Walmart's previous shipping pass, the program, there is no membership fee to enjoy this perk. Mark Lohr, who's the former head of Jet.com and now the head of Walmart's e-commerce operations after Walmart purchased Jet for $3 billion last year, said on a conference call that in today's world of e-commerce, two-day free shipping is table stakes. It no longer makes sense to charge for it, according to Reuters. And in this, Lohr is saying that if you want to be a real player in online shopping, you need to offer free two-day shipping. Anything less is simply unacceptable to customers. Now, of course, if you're a consumer, this is great news. The things you need to buy all the time are going to continue getting cheaper and easier to buy. And while the easy read on this announcement is that Walmart is moving into Amazon Prime's territory, what it really does is highlight just how differently Walmart and Amazon are approaching their retail businesses. Walmart has been and remains a retailer first. The company's success was built on scale, offering more products in one place at lower prices than any competitor could offer. Certainly, Amazon's initial and continued foray into retailing is, like Walmart, predicated on scale. But with the internet's customer acquisition cost bordering on zero, Amazon hasn't been able to leverage its scale to achieve the same profit ends as the ones that Walmart has. Amazon's stated aim, however, isn't profit but free cash flow. It can reinvest back into the business. Amazon, while breaking into the mainstream as a retailer, has now become a significantly more diversified business. In its most recent quarter, Amazon reported a profit of $252 million on $22.3 billion in sales, more than all of which came from its web services business, a total of $861 million. In his latest letter to Amazon shareholders, CEO Jeff Bezos said, "We want Prime to be such a good value, you'd be irresponsible not to be a member." The first interaction most Prime members, of which there are an estimated 60 to 80 million in the U.S. right now, have with Amazon's flywheel is their retail channel. And of course, these members don't stop shopping. Amazon Prime members spend on average four times more per year than non-members on Amazon. But Amazon Prime members are also pitched on the company's video on demand offerings, its music on demand offerings, and exclusive shipping offers, like, for example, same day delivery of some items in those markets that non-members don't get. At $99 a year, these members are also incentivized to actually use these benefits and, as a result, theoretically stop shopping around for better deals on, say, toilet paper. But a better deal on toilet paper is exactly what Walmart is hoping to offer consumers, and to do so without the annual fee. So it's going to be interesting to see how this one plays out, because you have to, you know, Amazon has the infrastructure in place. Does Walmart have the infrastructure to do the two-day shipping? Both the financial capital, the physical locations to get these out, when you look at distribution centers. So it'll be interesting to chart in the next, say, 1 to 3 years, whether or not Walmart is making a dent. The first prediction I would have is that if Walmart's going this way with no fee, Amazon Prime could soon be free to consumers, because there's not much that you're going to compete with in today's environment where you have a $99 fee and another retailer has none. I want to talk about Sales 101. Now, last week when James was in here, and as a reminder, James Mooney was here because he's taking over the Ronkonkoma store for Crown Trophy. So he's going to be with me for about 2 or 3 months, and he's got a lot of great questions. But he asked, like, how important is it to get to know your customers? How important is it? Do you treat them just like they're the next one coming through the door or what? And I told him, absolutely not. You have to get to know your customers. It's almost like Sales 101. Understanding your customers' needs and their personal side of life can help you deliver the level of personalization that they've come to expect. If you can answer 7 questions, it'll help you get started. Now, the age-old marketing advice, know your customers, about more than remembering the names of your business's most loyal fans. Customers' needs and expectations are always changing. It's important for small businesses to maintain ongoing relationships with leads, prospects, and customers to best understand how to address them, explained Tony Redoni, who's the Executive Vice President of Commercial Sales at Salesforce. Prospects expect a high level of personalization. From marketing emails to sales pitches, communication must be tailored for the given prospect and their place within the sales funnel. Converting a prospect into a final sale takes time and precision, he said. There's no one-size-fits-all in this equation. How can you deliver that level of personalization to your prospects? How about asking these questions about your current and potential customers to help refine your marketing efforts and then boost sales? Number one, who are they? Who are your customers? What are their ages, their gender, their location, their income level? Number two, what products and services do they need that you sell or that they need that you currently do not sell but could. Who else provides these products and services? Who's your competition in the area? Number four, how can you set your products and services apart in a positive way that customers will notice? Number five, how close are your target customers to buying what they want from your company? Number six, what will it take to get them to make that purchase? And finally, number seven, what will it take to retain their business? Your answers to these questions will help you understand your customers' needs and attract their business with products and services that they want. That last one there, that retention question, what will it take to retain their business? After you've made the sale, are you doing any kind of follow-up? A week later, are you sending a note? Are you calling? Are you emailing to see if everything that they picked up was to their liking? Luckily, my business, we average about a 98% retention rate. So when I flip the calendar over in January, I can pretty much guess how we're going to do that year if we don't grow the business at all. But then obviously I want to grow more. So I should have a pretty good idea of where we're going to end the year, barring, you know, every customer walking out the door. So what would you need to do to retain that business? And sometimes, don't forget to add an eighth question, and that's simply, what can we do to make your shopping experience with us better? Let them tell you what they like or dislike about your business. It's currently 11:45. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Going to step away for a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the best retirement plan options for small business owners. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com, as we do every week at this time. So glad to be with you again on another Thursday edition of Taking Care of Business. Want to remind you that today is the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Card Club, and it's being hosted by us at Crown Trophy of Flemington, located at 33 Rayville Avenue in the Hunterdon Shopping Center. Stop by tonight. You'll get a chance to mingle and meet some other business owners and members of the chamber. You'll get a chance to have your picture taken with the Super Bowl trophy, and then you'll also be able to enjoy some great food and try your skill in the trophy building contest. And then finally, we got some great gifts for everybody to go home with and an opportunity to win $200 in our Guess the Winner and Score contest. So far, 3 years in a row, nobody has actually gotten the score right. So you have to pick the winner, the losing score, the winning score, and then you're going to go home with a $200 Visa gift card. Every year we add $50 to the pot. So hopefully that will help as you look at all your bills from the holiday season. Or maybe that's how you're going to fund your retirement. But there are better retirement options for small business owners. And business owners and the self-employed have several smart choices when it comes to tax-deferred saving on their retirement. Now, like many small business owners, you may be reinvesting a significant portion of your earnings back into the business, leaving little to save for retirement. Perhaps you hope to sell or transfer the business and use those assets to live out your golden years. Now, while that may seem like a good idea, experts warn about the risk associated with putting all your eggs in one basket. It's okay if you put all your eggs, don't put all your eggs in one basket, but do have a lot of chickens in the coop. Saving for retirement is usually a better choice. The important thing about a retirement plan is having something for retirement, said Christina Povenmeyer, who's the owner of CMP Financial Planning in Columbus, Ohio. But it will also help if you want to retain better employees or induce them to come to work for you. Fortunately, several retirement plan options are particularly well-suited to the self-employed and their businesses. There's an SEP IRA, a sensible option for small businesses with very few key workers. This plan requires the employee to contribute equally to all employees. When you have employees, you have to put in the same percentage for them as you do for yourself, said Dana Ansbach, who's the founder and CEO of Scottsdale, Arizona-based Sensible Money. Look at it as a compensation package rather than another cost, and think about how it will help to retain your employees. Now, while only the employer can make contributions to this type of plan, they are tax-deductible as a business expense. The maximum contribution is the lesser of 25% of earned income, or $54,000. An SEP IRA is easy to set up and maintain, and there are no fees associated with either. Then there's a simple IRA. This plan is a good choice for small businesses with 100 employees or fewer. The employer is required to provide a 100% match on employee deferrals up to 3% of compensation, or provide a contribution of 2% of employee compensation. Employees can contribute up to 100% of their compensation through salary deferral, not to exceed $12,500. As an owner, if you want to put in more, you still only have to match 3% of your employees' contribution, Ansbach said. This plan doesn't require much administration, and it features a low-cost option of $25 per participant or a plan fee of $350. The simple IRA is good for a small company where you want to provide a retirement account, but you want to minimize the record-keeping requirements, said Kurt Stowers, who's the president of F5 Financial Planning in Naperville, Illinois. Then there's the self-employed 401k, which is great for a single business owner or a married couple with no employees. This plan has generous contribution limits. Specifically, employers may contribute up to 25% of their compensation, up to a maximum of $54,000, plus an employee contribution of up to $18,000, $24,000 if you're 50 or older. Incorporated businesses can usually deduct the contributions as a business expense, and there are no initial setup or annual maintenance fees. This plan is great for a one-man band, like a service provider or a consultant, Stower says. If you have other employees, then you need to be looking into something else. So there's a couple of options on retirement accounts that you may want to look into as a small business owner, and that may help you as you're trying to, particularly with the employee retention issue. Sometimes benefits are what's going to make or break whether or not an employee will stay with you. So something to look at there. We've talked a lot about social media marketing on the program, and we talk about Facebook, we talk about Instagram, we talk about Pinterest, and if you're still not reaching enough customers on Facebook, you may be able to find new customers on LinkedIn. Now, LinkedIn is more than a professional networking site. It's the platform is built for B2B and B2C lead generation for companies of all sizes. Is there more to social media marketing than Facebook? Well, you bet. LinkedIn, the professional networking site with 467 million members, isn't just for corporate recruiters seeking their next hire. LinkedIn is a great place for small companies like yours to generate new business opportunities if you know how to use it. Now, both business-to-business and business-to-consumer companies can find prospective customers by carefully choosing the content that they share, the groups they join, and the people they link in with, said Christine Perquette. Perquette owns the marketing agency Perquette PR and teaches digital media at Northeastern University in Boston. Perquette outlined four steps to help small businesses begin connecting with prospects and partners on LinkedIn. The first step is to create a business page. A LinkedIn tutorial will walk you through the steps of setting up your company page. Step two, search for and connect with everyone you know that has a profile on LinkedIn and follow the pages of companies that you have an interest in working with. Step three, share posts about your industry, how-to articles, or other interesting content that your potential customers and partners may find useful. And the fourth step, join groups that are relevant to your industry or your clients and participate in group discussions. So hopefully you can look at LinkedIn as a new marketing tool for your business. Let's talk about heaping on the praise, how to give positive feedback that's going to drive better results for your company. Now, a culture of recognition helps create a culture of continuous improvement in your business. If you want to create a culture of continuous improvement, then create the culture of recognition. Everyone wants to come to work and do a good job. Very few people are just doing it for the money. And if we can find ways to recognize them to feed their self-esteem, it will encourage them to continue to do good work and to seek new opportunities for even more recognition. What I love about recognition is that it really costs nothing, yet the return on investment is significant because what gets recognized gets repeated. I've worked in companies that have frowned on recognition, believing incorrectly that we should only recognize major achievements. But if we want people to deliver major achievements, it starts with recognizing the little things and building on them from there. When it comes to giving feedback, the best approach that I have found is to include the six ingredients in what I call the praise model, and the better we can apply these, the better that it return will be. The first, and think of the letters in the word praise, P, public. You should also always follow the approach of criticizing in private, but praise in public. When you praise in public, it not only shows the person being praised how much you appreciate them, but also shows others too, which is a great boost to an individual's esteem. The R is for recognition. You need to clearly recognize the individuals, highlighting them and their contributions. Remember, what gets recognized gets repeated, and we are looking to build a culture of recognition. You want it to be authentic. You need to be authentic when giving praise. You need to say it and mean it sincerely. It needs to be genuine for the person to acknowledge it, accept it, and appreciate it. If you are perceived as inauthentic, the outcome will be the opposite of what you were hoping for and could negatively impact motivation. It also has to be immediate. Your praise needs to be immediate, or as immediate as possible, as this will boost the impact. You cannot wait until an annual performance review to give the positive feedback, or until a later date. Now you can repeat the praise again at a later date, but the first feedback needs to be timely, as close as possible to the event. If you delay the praise, it can raise doubts as to whether the job performed was well done or not. And when you raise doubt, it can impact future performance. It has to be specific. The feedback needs to be specific. You need to clarify what it is that you are praising and what you liked about it. The more specific you can be, the more likely it is to be repeated. And finally, you have to be enthusiastic. Just as much as what you say, how you say it is extremely important. When you are enthusiastic in your praise, it becomes contagious. And not only does the person being praised look for more opportunities for praise, but so do those who experience the praise being given. If you can incorporate all six of these elements when giving praise, your staff will appreciate it. They will look for additional opportunities for praise, and they will also start to praise and appreciate each other, including you. Recognition is a very powerful tool, and the more you use it and the better you become at it, will give you more benefit than you and your that you and your company will receive. All right, in sports, in the NFL, it's time once again for one of my favorite days of the year. This Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday, Super Bowl 51, which will feature the New England Patriots against the Atlanta Falcons in Houston. And once again, I am on the USA Today ad meter board and will be voting on the best Super Bowl commercials and will recap them with you next week. Also in the NFL, John Lynch has been hired as the San Francisco 49ers' new GM. And in a unique twist, Lynch wanted his hiring kept secret to test the organization for leaks. So he instructed anyone affiliated with the interview process not to let anyone know he was even a candidate, and it worked. In NCAA men's basketball, the top 10 looks like this. Gonzaga is the new number one, followed by Baylor, Kansas, Villanova, and Arizona. Louisville, West Virginia, Kentucky, Virginia, and Wisconsin round out the top 10. In NASCAR news, Michael Waltrip has announced that this year's Daytona 500 will be his last. Waltrip is a two-time Daytona 500 winner. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice that I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. I'm Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I'll be taking care of business.